Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, we saw gold rising to a two-year peak, a two-week peak, sorry, not a two-year peak, a two-week peak, as we got a peek into the outlook for Britain, and it's still all options on the table following last night's historic vote. I've got Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Rowan Williams, director of Nitrogen Fund Managers, on the line with the view from the markets. Evening, gents. Wayne, kick us off. All the pretty much all room C facing at the end there, up to 55,829 points. A slight gain, but it was a very volatile day underneath the headline.
Yes, it was. I mean, the market was up and then down and then up and then down and then up towards the end again. And it was really the financials coming off about 1% on the day. And there it was Liberty Holdings, APSA down 4%. No particular reason, to be honest, why it's doing that, because there was no new information. You know, maybe a weaker rand, because the rand's trading at 14.41, was a little bit behind that. But yeah, look, it wasn't a good day, but at least, you know, for the year to date, at least the market has gone up a little bit. So yeah, you know, it's up from about 51,000 to 55,000, 52,000 to 55,000. So it's not too bad so far this year, but the up was driven by gold mining and resource shares.
Yeah, it really has been a resource-driven recovery, yes, so far this year, as it was last year, with resources, correct, being the standout. So, Rowan, how are you reading the activity today? I see Exxaro was up almost 5% ahead of its results out tomorrow. Somebody obviously knows something we don't.
Yeah, resources definitely the star of the show, and I think propping up what was actually quite an ugly market in other sectors. So yeah, it's the place to be, and Exxaro in particular, I think it's lagged a little bit some of its peers, and we have seen the other resource companies move up on their results, which generally have been good with the buoyant commodity prices and obviously the softer rand. So I think yeah, the market expecting and hoping decent numbers from them, and possibly a little bit of catch up from Exxaro.
On the loser side of the column, though, of the ledger is Kumba Iron Ore, down 4.15%. Obviously, iron ore a little bit soggy as well. But in the top 10, you've got the likes of Exxaro, Sibanye, Implats, Harmony, Glencore, and Anglo Gold. So certainly that theme of commodities quite strong. The big losers, Liberty, Mr. Price, down heavily on the day as well. Brait, 4%, no surprise on the Brexit story. Let's talk about Brexit here. Brafit, as expected, Wayne. That wasn't a surprise. I mean, the dejected look on Theresa May's face, yes, and she was hoarse and she had lost her voice, and I know the Labour Party had lost its voice a couple of years ago, so they can't really point any fingers at her. Mm. But she must be absolutely spent being run through, yes, this particular mill right now.
Yeah, look, she was given an impossible task to do there, to be totally honest. I mean, just, you know, there's been a lot of information and noise and everything on Brexit, but just a quick one-minute summary. If you leave the European Union, you've got to have a border, because you're no longer a part of the European Union. So therefore, Northern Ireland should have a border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. But now no one wants that border. So Theresa May's answer was quite simple. We'll stay part of the customs union, i.e. no border, and we'll kick the can down the road, and we will sort this one out at an unspecified future date with unspecified criteria as to how we sort it out. Now, that was unacceptable to the overwhelming majority of MPs, because they're saying we'll still be subject to the European Union customs rules, but we're no longer part of the European Union, so we have no say in how those rules are drafted or implemented. So it's a no-win situation for either side. You either got to have a hard border or you stay in. You know, so it was an impossible, quite frankly, an impossible task to actually sort out. But now at least we know tomorrow they're going to vote about a no-deal Brexit, which no one wants, so, you know, that won't pass, and then they'll vote about an extension of the Brexit deadline. For what reason? And no one knows, because you either have a border in Northern Ireland or you stay in the European Union Customs Union. So I don't know how you sort that out, but I mean, last night for the first time, Theresa May mentioned a second referendum. So maybe that's the ultimate way you know, the ultimate outcome of all of this, because all the opinion polls, and we know the errors of opinion polls, we know this, all the opinion polls nowadays show overwhelming support to stay in.
Well,
Rowan, so we'll see.
And Wayne, that's a nice summary. Rowan, I want to pick up on that. I think the vote on whether or not to reject the idea of a no-deal Brexit's actually tonight. I know the more important issue tonight is certainly Liverpool in the Champions League, but I think a few people will be watching that. And then tomorrow we've got the issue on whether or not the date should be delayed. That's the March 29 deadline. And if you look at it, I was watching last night an interview with the head of the 1922 committee, and he reckoned that the EU would likely take that and give at least 6 months to the Brits to go and sort their house out, because they've got their own elections coming up, and so they really will have their hands full with all of that without having to worry what the UK is doing.
Yes, it's certainly not really in anyone's interest to get to 29th of March and have a no-deal Brexit just land on everyone's table. I think the repercussions and the potential disruption is significant. We know the European Union, the economy is also fairly soft, and this would be disruptive to both economies. It's turning into a little bit of a sort of political show, it is sort of fraying, because it looks like voting is no longer going to be on party lines as well, so it's up to individual MPs to decide. But the key vote is in terms of whether they do have a no-deal Brexit or extend it. The capital markets and the currency markets are fairly optimistic that there won't be a no-deal Brexit at this point. We know the markets have been wrong. They were wrong about Brexit itself. So it's creating quite an uncertain environment in the short term, but I guess we will get a clearer picture over the next 2 days.
Yeah, we know the betting markets got it horribly wrong last time around. We might have to turn to things like, I don't know, sentiment analysis. I know brands use sentiment analysis, trawling social media and other things to predict Trump and Brexit. So I think we'll have to get the brands eye guys on the show to give us a bit of a punt as we head into tomorrow's key vote. Stay right there, chaps. When we return, there's a lot of company-specific news with results out of the likes of Growthpoint, Libstar and a few others.
Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Welcome back with your view from the market is Wayne McCurry and Rowan Williams. Wayne, let's have a look at some company-specific news. And let's start with Growthpoint, because it ties into the other key macro data point out today. Business confidence plumbing the depths now its lowest level in almost 2 years. And if you listen to Norbert Sasser deliver the Growthpoint results, it's no surprise. They're not seeing any growth in South Africa over the next 12 months.
I would be a bit more optimistic to say that there's no growth for the next 12 months, but that doesn't detract from the fact that property has been up for a while, because you have rental growth in low single digits and you have expense growth in high single digits, so you're getting this perpetual squeeze. And the reason for the expense growth is rates and taxes and lights and water. So it's been an incredibly tough environment to operate in, but they delivered, 4.5-5% dividend growth, which is actually quite acceptable in this type of environment. And given the fact that the share's down 20% year on year, for the first time since I was a young man, these property yields actually look fairly attractive at this price. You know, the yields now, dividend yield is approaching the long bond. I think Growthpoint is at 9.5%. Where it wasn't that long ago, all of these yields trading at 6.5, 7, 7.5. So, in my view, the property sector actually offers quite reasonable valuation levels in South Africa at the moment.
Rowan, against that view, what concerns me perhaps is whether or not we might start to see some building revaluations. Because if you look at the market right now, I mean, for Growthpoint to go into double-digit vacancies in its office portfolio, I don't know how you continue to carry those assets on your books at the value that you had them in the previous year if things don't start turning around. There is still some risk.
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing is we had a fairly benign environment for many years, low interest rates and reasonable demand for office space. There has that's turned into an oversupply situation with the sort of buoyant capital markets. A lot of these property groups also raise significant capital, and they've put that into new development. So we're seeing a surplus at a time when demand is dropping. So negative revisions on rentals, increasing vacancies, as you point out. And it's increasing interest rates also would result in a higher cap rate, which all point to lower valuations. It's obviously reflected in the performance of the actual REITs in terms of the share price performance. So the market's already devalued them to some extent. So the net asset values, the property valuations, if you take that all into account, I guess they should come down. And in certain cases, some of the property counters may end up trading at premiums to NAV again, and you may see another leg down. I think, obviously, a debt downgrade, which is possible at the end of the month, is another consideration, and that could result, again, in higher interest rates and lower valuations.
All very important to consider if you look at that loan-to-value ratio, which is creeping up. It's still below 40%, which is where I think some of the ratings agencies in particular would be looking a little bit askance at a REIT's balance sheet. Wayne, moving on now to Mpac's results, formerly Mondi Packaging. It had quite a good day and not a bad set of results, but clearly the plastics business, and there's this war on plastic at the moment, showing up in these numbers.
They've had a tough time for a while now. I mean, the share price has not done well for a while, and certainly this is the first set of results they've come out with that look good. And one of the main reasons why it's looking good is it's off such a low base. But clearly the market initially liked these results enormously, because I think the share was up maybe 3 or 4 or 5% earlier on in the day, but it closed up 0.5%. And of course, it is a difficult environment, as we have been speaking about now for a while, operating in the SA consumer space, and then just throw in the war on plastics. It's been tough. So this share's halved in the last 3 years.
Throwing the war in plastics, a carbon tax, a higher than inflation increase for electricity. We are doing everything we can possibly do to try and constrain business in this country. It's blindingly obvious to everyone except maybe those on the NEC list of the ANC. Let's not even go there as we see some of those names released. I mean, if you look at it, what are Mossa Benzi's wine?
No, I hear you. But remember, this is politics. That's not reality. And we've got to sit back and say, are we better off now than what we were under President Zuma? It's not a case of saying there's still an enormous amount of work to do to get to a place where I think all citizens would like us to be. But I think it would be fair to say, even if some people might argue that it's only marginally so, from a political oversight and control and governance issue, we are better off than what we were under the previous president. But I want to stress, there is clearly an enormous amount still to do. But yeah, hopefully we have started on that path.
We'll leave it there. Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Rowan Williams, Director of Nitrogen Fund Managers, with your view from the market.